The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All right, guys, episode 565 of the show radio. We are here after a small break. Okay. We took a little break this past week. So today's going to be a short show, specifically because I definitely want to talk about the Xbox celebration, and we definitely want to go over the Twitch DMCA. I think that's where our time is going to be spent today. Maybe a couple of things in between, but that's it. Guys, welcome to the episode 565 of the show radio. I'm your host, Andrew.
And I'm Danny.
And this is your source for tech, gaming, and entertainment news. Head over to theshowradio.info. Once again, that's theshowradio.info. And check out our past shows while you're there. Subscribe and tell a friend about the show. Daniela, what's going on with you?
This is a crazy week. I don't know. This last 2 weeks, I guess, week and a half, whenever our last show was. It's stressful, but feeling a lot better this week.
Okay.
Feeling good.
You want to talk about that?
Yeah, we can talk about that.
Okay. I'm not going to be too long-winded tonight, but I will say that I'm very proud of you, okay, for taking a break. Because you realized that your mindset was, you know, you needed that rest. So I'm proud of you for doing that. That was pretty dope. But yeah, so elections, House of Cards. You want to talk about it? Season 7.
I don't know, man. I actually liked House of Cards too. Yeah. So for anybody who needs to know, I'm the one who kind of just called, like, I just can't do the show today. My head was not in that space. Like, I was doom scrolling when I shouldn't have been doom scrolling. I should have just like turned off all socials and disabled any notifications for any news outlets that I was, I don't know, had.
Why were you scrolling though?
Because I wanted to know what was happening. I just wanted this nightmare to end. I wanted to see the results and whether it be good or bad. For me, being good would have been Biden winning and being bad, Trump winning. I just needed to know, okay, I just want to be able to process this feeling about whether it's going to be a good one or it's going to be a bad one. I needed time. I want to process that already because right. I felt like I was sitting in this weird limbo purgatory of like, what is going to be the future from 2021 on, you know, what's going to happen. I needed to know. And I was just, and then what's terrible about doom scrolling is that I'm usually really good at just being able to look at Twitter and not taking the emotions that are put out there into the universe and just absorbing them. But at this point, just to have so many people, because just, you know, obviously because of the algorithm, a lot of people on any social media really puts forward for you to follow people that are similar to you and like you. I mean, I do have some Republicans I do follow, but like they kind of just chose the Democratic side on certain things and topics, and they could see like, okay, I'm not going to vote for Trump this time.
Okay.
So, but they're similar, like-minded individuals, and like, just to have all of these people who are kind of in the same headset, the same mindset, the same like frustration, anger, and just this doom feeling is just kind of like, I just took that all in and I shouldn't have. But it was like, it was so hard because you have like this group of people and you have friends that are just like, I need to know what's happening. Like, how is it this close? How is this where it's at right now? And I mean, there's a lot of great things, regardless of whatever party you took for this election, is that we had the most astounding, like, you know, turnouts for voting.
Absolutely.
Regardless if you voted for Trump or if you voted for Biden. And that's a huge thing to, as Americans, to take that right that you have the privilege of voting. And, you know, I don't hold any personal hard feelings for whatever side anybody voted on. What I did do though, which is so weird, is like, I hope I've never have, but somebody can tell me and, you know, call me out on it if I have, but I don't feel that I've attacked or, you know, berated somebody who voted for Trump. I did take the time to ask somebody, you know, ask them, it's like, okay, well, what do you see in this candidate that you, that aligns with you, that right. you can see yourself voting for this person? And you know what? Nobody answered me.
What do you mean? Nobody answered you?
Like, there's no reply back. Like, they will have tweets about like, oh, the Democrats, I always just want to hate and just want to do this. Well, I'm trying to have an actual conversation so that we can see what our differences are. Because I do want to understand. I'm not going to sit there. Like, they're not going to have me change my mind. And I'm certainly not going to sit there to change their mind. But I would like a better understanding. Because to me, I do not understand that. I do not see why or how somebody can see any good for themselves personally or as a nationwide to vote for a certain candidate.
Okay. You know? I can tell you why.
Why?
So the thing that I'm noticing or I've realized over the years with Trump and his fan base, his loyal supporters, they all have something like you were just saying. There's a perk for them to be associated with Trump, and whether that's reelection, whether that's, you know, access to assets, to some degree, there's perks associated with him. So even when you look at, President Obama, who's highly respected post presidency, right? There are individuals who are going to highly respect Trump post-presidency as well, because as you stated, so many individuals voted for him. So he has a high influence in any arena, whether that's business or politics or anything like that. So whether you're on the line just to get by with your perks or you're all in with everything that he has to say, he holds grudges forever. So if you say something crazy to him, whether it was the NFL situation, because he's been like going back and forth with him for a long time, whether it's the fact that Obama had more numbers with him, you know, when the inauguration happened, so he's still talking about that, he will hold grudges forever. He's the person that you don't want on your on the bad side, right? You don't want the bad side of him. So whether you're a Mitch McConnell, right, from Kentucky, who's going to be reelected in 6 years, or whoever it may be, it's a perk association with him. So even when you look at Bill Barr, right, the attorney general, Bill Barr is one of Trump's best friends, right, who happens to be also the attorney general, right? But on top of that, when you look at that relationship, that spans generations, because Bill Barr's dad had given Epstein a job with no credentials to be a professor, right? So from Bill Barr's dad to Bill Barr to Epstein to Trump, you have a generational relationship there. So on so many levels. And that's just one case. So a lot of it is... you're indebted to him for whatever reason. You have a genuine friendship with him. And at the same time, you don't want to make him mad. So it's a combination of all those things.
Okay. But then what about the general average Joe that has no direct relations with this president? Why would they choose? I can understand if
okay.
they have a working relationship or a long history. That's the people that I'm asking.
Right.
Like, why?
So like, the other side of it, the other side of it is the average Joe is not going to research what's happening in the space, right? They're not going to research that. So for the average Joe, Trump is a great entertainer, okay? And because he's a great entertainer, a lot of people dismiss what the moral compass would be because he's such a great entertainer, right? The average Joe may be watching Fox News. They may not necessarily be watching independent media to get actual news of what's going on. So even the litigation things that are happening with the states that Trump is doing right now, the average Joe really believes that there is voter fraud, even though there's no evidence of voter fraud, right? So they're not going to do that research. They're not going to do that heavy lifting. And for those individuals, he can get them easily into his base because they're not doing that kind of research. So that's the average Joe.
Well, calling Trump a good entertainer, that's completely subjective.
It is.
Because, like, well, I can say that about a couple of people, like Andrew Dice Clay. He's an entertainer. He's a comedian. I would not say he was good at all because his comedy isn't for me. So I guess that's completely subjective.
Yeah, Andrew Dice Clay became that character, right? He didn't start off as that character, but he made that who he became, right? Over the years. So yes, he is a comedian, but yeah, it could be subjective, but that's how I would look at it with the average Joe versus the individuals who are great friends with him and are indebted to him.
I'm not going to take the time to go and ask Mitch McConnell, like, why are you friends with this?
Right.
Guy?
I'm not going to say, I'm not going to say it's right. I'm just saying that that's what I see.
But for me, I think it's just more of kind of tired of that narrative about, you know, people are so leftist that they'll just attack you just because you supported somebody. And there was one, I think it was like last week. And I think she got ratioed so fast. She started her tweet off with, she was coming out of the closet as a Republican and she voted for Trump. And like so many people jumped on her for that. And I generally tweeted her. I'm like, I have a very big curiosity and it's a genuine question about, because she had a couple of threads underneath that says that, you know, that Trump has values that are similar to her own. Your first thing, anytime that somebody says that, and it's not just her, because I've seen several people who did vote for Trump who just says like he has ideals that are similar to yours, and I'm like, dude, his ideals is homophobic and racist, so there's got to be something.
And
else
that may that be missing. Similar to hers.
It could be.
I don't know.
It could be. But then for this person, for her to say like I'm not racist, I'm like, okay, well if it's not that, what is it? Well, like what, like, but me, I really want to know, like, rather than just making that instant judgment,
right?
You know, like, tell me, like, what is there something about this candidate, about this person that I do not see?
Right.
Please take the time, if you want to have a conversation, to let me know.
It's vested interests and business and perks. It's usually related to those things.
Yeah, I can understand that for business owners. I have colleagues who are very much, they are not necessarily pro-Trump. And they're very clear about that. They're not pro-Trump, but they are pro what he plans and what he wants to offer for business owners or people who have that money to have that. Because, you know, my colleagues also have side businesses that are very lucrative for them. So those little tax breaks that they would get,
they want
that's
that.
Beneficial to them. That's what they want. But they were not fans of the person, just
right.
What they were pushing for.
They were okay. Fans of the perks, but not the vessel giving the perks.
Yeah. And I can understand that.
Right.
But then somebody who like me or similar to me, who is just, you know, regular 9-to-5 worker, doesn't have, you know, several businesses. He's just, you know, your average Joe. Like, let me know, what is it that you're getting from this person? But yeah, anybody that I reached out and asked those general questions never ever replied back. It's like either you don't know
right.
And you're just going with it, or you're too afraid to admit something that is publicly wrong. It's one of
right.
Those things.
It's gotta be. Right. Or the nuance is in between.
It's gotta be something. So, I mean, I'm so open to having those conversations. I have nothing against Republicans because I got family that's Republicans, but then again, they didn't vote for, they're not loyal to necessarily the party. They're loyal to the country and the better good of it. so they didn't vote Republican. But yeah, that's what it was. And so waking up Saturday, and it was said across the socials, it really says a lot about the character of the person when the entire world celebrates your loss.
Yeah, that was something else.
That was like, I've only been around on this earth for 36 years. I've only been a part of the last, I've only voted the last three, four, fourth now. This will be my fourth one. I think maybe, okay, no, three. Yes. Three. I don't think I've, even through going through high school, I don't think I've ever heard of, you know, an election where so many people celebrated. Yeah, you have your campaign parties that everybody who worked so hard campaigning for their candidate and everything like that, they're celebrating, they're stoked, they're having a party. But never where you have like people across the nation just celebrating, having this party, honking, like just so much. It says a lot. It really does. So.
Yeah. It says a lot, because what we're witnessing right now with him not conceding and placing individuals that he's close friends with in different departments of the government is what a dictator does. And we've seen that throughout the history of not necessarily America's history, but through other, world leaders. The rise and fall of them, we've seen how dictators behave, and he's behaving like one. And are we concluding that he is one? I don't know, but he sure is behaving like one, right? And I don't know what you do with that.
If you talk like a monkey, act like a monkey, sound like a monkey,
you might be a bird. I don't know. I don't know.
But I mean, that is a whole different headache. I mean, it's not like that was the end result. Okay, Biden has been claimed the winner. The world is all great now. No, of course, we're going through this. But it's a step in a hopeful direction, at least in my eyes, a hopeful direction. And for that one moment, for that day, I honestly think, like, with as bad as 2020 has been for so many people, and everything that we have been through, and everything that people have been fighting for since, I think, what was it, March?
Yeah.
I think as a nation, we really needed that one day, that Saturday.
Did I tell you that, like, my daughter was out of country? She was coming back into America when that stuff started going down?
No.
Yeah, because she went to Ecuador for her school trip. And oh, she was on her way back.
I remember.
Yeah, like as soon as that day. Yeah. Yeah.
That had to be a sight.
We were nervous about that. But we're glad everything worked out. But yeah, pretty much maybe a week or two after she landed, things started getting crazy.
Oh yeah. That would have been crazy. I don't know. But we did as a nation needed Saturday to celebrate, to feel good, to feel that we were in unity over something positive. Like all the Black Lives Matter marches, like, yeah, we were coming together, but it was also something over something sad, something heartbreaking, something that we shouldn't even be fighting for right now, that it should just be known in equality. But to have something positive, I think...
Not everybody feels like that. They don't feel the way you do. Well, you know? Some people think you're racist. You remember the E3 Haitian video that we did?
Yeah.
Some people think you're racist.
I'm racist.
I think that's funny, because...
Who thinks I'm racist?
I just, you know, these commenters go a little crazy with their Twitter, Twitter fingers. But I think that's funny, because they'll accuse you of having a particular viewpoint towards a particular group of individuals or people, if you will. but yet they haven't interacted with you to know, you know, what you stand for and what your morals are. And I think that that's the internet. That is the internet right there. Okay.
That's why anything that anybody has to say about me online doesn't really bother me, because you don't know me.
That's the internet.
And anything that I say, like, I can, that's why I'm trying to take, like, I kind of used to be like that. Not that I used to just, like, outwardly attack people for whatever I thought they stood for, but, like, you know, make those really early judgments before getting to know somebody, and really been trying to be better at that, to understand people more.
Absolutely.
Because there's got to be something behind it. Unless they just straight outwardly says it's publicly, then, you know what, that can't be helped.
Yeah, I think that they would need to know who you are first before making a judgment call. And most people don't take the time to do that. So, interestingly enough, I went on Twitch earlier this week, and we were talking about, so I jumped into the just chatting section, and someone came in and they were sad that Trump may lose the election, right? Now, that conversation can go left really fast.
Yeah.
Because you're not here, right? And you haven't lived under his rule, if you will. And so my thing was, well, why do you feel the way you do? And I think that's a beautiful question you were asking your friends, is we need to know the why. Before we land on a particular conclusion, we have to ask questions. And usually what happens, whether it's the internet or social media, period, most individuals do not ask questions. They just jump to conclusions and they stop talking to people. Then they start subtweeting and, you know, however the chain goes on the internet. So basically with that conversation, I was asking the individual, why do you feel that way? And we just had a conversation about how we feel about the election and how things are happening. And it was a great conversation. But people are willing to talk if you're willing to engage. But if you're willing to judge on the onset, then that's when you get, you know what? I really don't think Twitch chat or any chat, I don't think they're that bad. I think some individuals really are trying to understand. And I think that because we already have preconceived notions, or we already have our constitution or how we feel about things, we, the streamer, whoever it may be, we project that onto the chat and we don't give them an opportunity to engage in those conversations. That's how I'm thinking about it. I know that could be a long shot. Could be.
That's a very dangerous statement that you just made.
Could be. But I think that when I've taken the time to engage with individuals who are willing to have conversations in Twitch chat or whatever, it's usually a very civil conversation. So yeah, I know that that's a very, very hot iron.
Right? Because that's all subjected to experience too, because I know for me personally, like, I've had not so bad. I haven't gotten even a sliver of the amount of harassment that a lot of streamers get. And I'm sure there are male streamers who get their fair share, but I only really have experience from the female side because of girl streamers. And they share, like, every hateful, every terrible thing that is ever said to them. Because after a while, it really takes a beating towards your mental health, your, right, even your, you know, how you see yourself and how you carry yourself. It starts to eat away at you. And some of these things that are said, there's no point because of trying to have a conversation with these people, because they're not coming in there to have conversations. They're coming there to get whatever reaction that they want to stir out of you, because that's, I don't know, that's their weird kink or whatever. But
right.
Yeah, I'm not going to engage with somebody who's just blatantly just saying racist or sexist things, like, straight off the bat. Like, nobody jumps into a conversation.
Well, yeah, like, well, that's different.
The first thing that comes out of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's different. I'm saying, like, if they're willing to understand your position and they're asking questions about it, and because of, as you said, you know, things affect your mental health, and you're thinking they're going to behave like the last person, and they're not, and they're really just genuinely asking you, well, why do you feel this way? And I think that too many a times we treat the individual in the current chat like the last person, right? Because you believe that the train of questions that they're asking is going to end up like the last person that was bugging out. And sometimes that's not always the case, right? Because we don't give them a chance to do that. I'm not saying like this is a perfect scenario every single time. What I'm saying is that it does happen when someone will come in, they'll start asking questions, and they're really genuine. And you may not think they're genuine because of the last person from two chats ago or two streams ago. You rail on this person because it looked like it was the same pattern, and they were really just trying to get some information from you, the content creator, right? And I think we can't treat them all the same. And sometimes we do. You know, I'm guilty of it. I'm not saying like I'm exempt from that. I'm guilty of it too. And I think we just have to be better at that. But again, there's cases, like you said, with girl streamers, and that's a regular thing for them. And they just have to figure out how to filter through that and still create the content that they're trying to create.
Oh yeah, just instant ban. Like yeah. After a while, you just, sorry, it's going to be applied to you, especially if you're going for your thing and you're saying that they exhibit the similar patterns as somebody who had ill intentions. Well, sorry, maybe you should phrase your questions in a different way, because That's what you're going to be put in as. And then that's where he's going to go.
Yeah. So celebration, holding pattern right now. And what's interesting too, I guess the last thoughts I have on it, and then I'll give you the last thoughts, is that the way the Biden folks are moving to handle business is like super quiet versus the way Trump handles the litigations and very loud upfront. Like you rarely hear things like I was even during the race, like, is why don't we see more ads from Biden's team? It was not a lot of ads. It was always more Trump than anything else. And I thought that was just interesting the way they handled that. And even with that, not seeing Biden in a lot of ads or anything like that versus Trump, he still got more votes. So
well, because Trump can he kind of puts his foot in his mouth on his own. Like, we really, you really sit there and pay attention to what Trump is saying and how he says it and how he presents himself. Like, do you really need to have a very loud campaign to like, dude, this dude already makes us look good on his own.
Yeah. So to me, the conclusion I got from that is, you didn't need to spend a lot of money. I'm sure they spent money on their campaign, to get the attention that they were trying to get. And that's all I have on that. Do you have final thoughts on that?
For me, what worked was like, yeah, their campaign wasn't nearly as loud and in your face as Trump's, but that's kind of like how Trump's whole thing. That's how he's always been. So it matched his personality pretty well. For me, it was just more paying attention about, you know, what was said and how it was said and how it was presented. Because that's the type of president that you're going to be. I mean, you're not going to be when you're president, whether it be Biden or anybody else, doesn't apply to Trump because he just made his own book. I mean, you're not in people's faces like that. You're handling business and, you know, this is what's happening. These are the laws, these are the bills, these are whatever it is that's going forward. And you get that information from, you know, whatever news outlets that you go to, or newspaper, if you still subscribe to a newspaper. I like that. I would like to go back to the point where I thought politics was boring. I would like to go back to that normal, very, very much so, where if I voted, I felt good that I voted, but then, you know what? I felt confident in whatever candidate was put forward in front of me. And then it's like, okay, well, you know, Republicans won this year. All right, maybe next time.
I don't think it was ever boring.
For me, it was. Okay?
I think you're more engaged now.
Well, I have to be more engaged now because I don't trust the person that was leading. Whereas before it's like, oh, okay, well, mom will win this time. That's cool. I don't think even as a kid I had any family that was so like, you know, like, oh, you know, the party that I didn't vote for didn't win. You know what? It's okay. He still has these good qualities and he still wants this stuff. They could still find good in it. Okay. I would like that. Mm. I don't see good in it.
So, Xbox launch celebration. So I'm going to do a timestamp right there for those watching later. So you jump right to that Xbox launch celebration. I am excited. Okay. I'm just going to say that. I'll give it to you. We'll go back and forth here. So, your thoughts on this week?
Well, we got our Xbox Series X like this today. Oh my goodness. I literally just told you before we started recording that we got it today, but, I don't know. This week was also weird for me, but in like a good way.
Okay. Gaming stuff or what?
I don't know. I've been playing Apex, which is
so yeah. Weird. I did see that. But no, let's react to the Xbox stuff. How much of it did you watch?
What do you mean? How much did I watch?
Daniela.
There was something.
Yeah, there was something. All right, an actual video. Like, yeah.
If that's all, then it's zero. I've just been looking at everybody's excitement of getting theirs.
Okay, so what did you get from that excitement?
Zero. I'm so happy for people, except for like this whole thing. Like, I went to bed last night. Okay, so first of all, I'm like super excited everybody getting their consoles and being stoked about it and posting up their pictures. Like, for me, and I still, like, even with it launched and it's out there now, I don't think I personally am going to be getting an Xbox Series X or the S. I really don't know. Like, it's not on me because the Game Pass is just so good.
Okay.
Gotcha. The Xbox Game Pass is so good. I can have that experience still on, at least for the games that are kind of, I gravitate towards. I can have that experience and play that game on my PC. Xbox Game Pass. It's just a must. Okay. It really is. I think that is their low key, like, golden child there. Like, yes, the console is great, but really the cherry on top, the golden child, everything is that subscription service. So that's why I just don't see me getting it. But as the fact that there's next gen and there's so many people who did, I know there's some people who are just really upset, not at Xbox, but at like their FedEx or their UPS.
The delivery guy.
Drivers, like, yeah. Yeah. That is them that they can deal with. But to see so many people excited about it and it's just like having that joy. I love launch, like console launches. Just because of that is that joy. I mean, yes, there's I think what Xbox does great is that it's not really leaving behind the people who are not gonna, you know, go over to the next gen yet. So that it's like, it's like, I don't feel left behind. But I think my favorite video are the ones of the kids getting it. It's like their early Christmas present, like, I think for some kids, they really deserve it, especially for this year with so many of them having to like not see their friends as much, going through what this hot mess of a year, distant learning, like to have this and that surprise on their face and excitement of like, oh my God, I got the new system. Those were my favorite. They really were. Right now, the first one that's popping into my head was possibly the one that Danny Pena posted about his nephews and they're coming home into their bedroom and seeing it. Those are just cute. And I love it. I would have gotten one from my son, but this kid claims that he doesn't like gaming. And if he does, it's all PC.
Okay.
He's a weird one because he claims he doesn't like gaming, yet he almost got... I think it's platinum. I don't remember what the skins are. The highest skins in COD
for almost all his guns, and he plays like.
What is he playing on?
100 hours. PC.
Playing on PC.
He has like several hundred. I'm like talking about like over 400 hours in Session and Skate XL. So
that's insane.
But he doesn't like gaming. Okay. I don't understand.
I don't know about that.
I don't understand that, Damon. But anyways, I love those. And so my boyfriend stoked. He got his, although because I wasn't getting an Xbox Series X, I didn't really look too far to what else might be needed. I completely just ignored the fact that, and I knew it too. I knew it in the back of my head, but it just, it wasn't until like today I realized like, oh, right. It doesn't have an optical port. How do we hook this up for all this stuff? So now he's looking through that. I'm like, no, this should be it. Whereas the PS5, I knew it didn't have an optical port. So I got the one from Astro for their splitter. Yeah. And I was like thinking like, oh yeah, I probably should have thought about that for you. My bad. So we're going to have to navigate that one for streaming purposes. But the fact that it's here, it's really big. I would bring it over, but it's hooked up and getting updates and installs right now.
What are you playing first on it? Do you know?
I'm not playing anything on it. I don't know what he's going to play on. It's probably going to be Apex.
Gotcha.
I would say Valhalla. That's what I have. Like, well, that's what I pre-ordered for my PS5 is Valhalla. That's going to be the first game that I play. Even though it's a PS4 and it's just a PS5 upgrade, I still want to experience it on my PS5. So that's my goal. My PS5 is going to be here on Friday. But I don't know what other games he has planned that is going to be a launch. I think really honestly, it might be Cyberpunk 2077.
Okay.
But even that, like that's a launch title game, but it's not a Xbox Series X or S title itself, because it's just an upgrade from the previous. I'm sure it's going to look great, but it wasn't made with just, you know, the next gen in mind.
Yeah.
So I don't know what title that will be. I don't even know if there is a title for that right now.
So why are you playing Apex? It's a shooter.
I don't know.
It's a shooter. Daniela?
Because my boyfriend says I don't play games with him or spend enough time, so I just went to go pick it up. I'm like, okay, well, it's on Steam. I'll go and play it, and there's cross-platform.
I downloaded it, too. It looks so good.
It's okay. I mean, I still kind of like, eh.
It looks so good.
It looks good, but for me, like, I don't know. Shooters just don't do it for me. Like, you know, I'll play it. I gotta find ways to make it interesting to me when I don't find it interesting. So what we've been doing is just doing instant hot drops, which basically just jump out of the aircraft the moment that you can and land wherever, right straight down below you, wherever it is, where they can be really hot spots for like people who want to get into the game really early.
Weapons and different things like that.
Yeah, you're like frantically picking up whatever it is that you possibly can around you, and usually you have at least two teams that land with you. So like they're doing the same thing. Go over there and take them out as fast as you possibly can. They can make for really short games too.
So I wanted to share this with you. I'm actually surprised of how happy I am for this week and the console launches. Because I wasn't planning to buy them right away, right? Because a lot of the games are being pushed into next year. But for me, I was really excited about the tweets that I was seeing. You know, people like, okay, FedEx is showing up today. You know, I just got my confirmation, right? So I think that I was really excited to see those things. And even with the live stream, because they had a 5-6 hour live stream for the launch, you know, with different individuals on panels and Major Nelson hosted that, and of course some other.
None of that. I didn't even know that was going on.
Yeah, yeah. So for me, the thing that I wanted to focus on for that specifically was the reactions of the individuals in the beginning. So the first maybe hour of the live stream were different individuals, including individuals from Team Xbox, speaking about what gaming meant for them and how it changed their life and how it allowed them to cope. So even if I wasn't really planning to watch the whole 6 hours, but I wanted to see if they had any special segments. And to me, that was a special segment I wanted to see. So the first 45 minutes to an hour were different individuals talking about different streamers, content creators, different members from Team Xbox, speaking about what gaming meant to them and how it changed their lives and how Xbox changed their lives. So I spent that time watching that and consuming that, because now for me, because I'm not spending so much time with Xbox stuff, right? Appreciate that, Trio. Now I'm not really necessarily focusing on consoles as much, because I just want to play things on wherever they may be. I needed to feel how much that meant to them. Right. Because I feel like I'm an outsider now, because I'm not necessarily spending that much attention on it as I used to. Right. Because the last Xbox I have was the Xbox One, still somewhat recent, but it's just a standard Xbox One. Right. So I needed to really connect with their passion and their excitement for this next generation, which is this week. And so I spent the time watching that. It was incredible. And like you said, the kids stand out. There was a little girl talking about how she loved playing games with her dad. And that I remember that. And of course, the individuals who said that this is the only way I was able to make friends, because I'm not necessarily one that goes out to communicate like that. So Xbox gave me an avenue to connect with individuals and become really good friends with them. So those moments were really impactful for me, and I enjoyed watching that first 45 minutes.
Okay. Trioptical ask if I'm getting my consoles on time. Well, our Xbox came technically a day late, because it came today, and my PS5 will be here Friday. It won't be here tomorrow. It shipped today. There's no overnight shipping to Hawaii. So FedEx says they'll be getting it by 5 p.m. on Friday. So that's when I'll be getting it. That is awesome. I mean, gaming means so much to so many people in so many different ways, especially as, you know, for our generation to the, you know, this next generation, and for this new generation that you're getting to experience it. It makes me feel so old, because for a lot of kids, like, the Xbox Series X and the PS5 is going to be like their introduction to gaming, and that's going to be like the first console that they ever played. It's kind of like how, what was it? I want to say it was like a month ago, and I can't remember which gaming Twitter put it out, but they had this whole thing about what was your first generation gaming console, and like, the Atari and the Nintendo wasn't even on the list. And I was like, oh,
that's weird.
My goodness. And like, I think the oldest one that was on there was the Super Nintendo. And I'm like, I feel so offended right now. I feel so called out and old. How dare you exclude me?
Right.
And then I think somebody else had added those in for the next one, because I think there's only gave like three categories of the generations starting from the Super Nintendo. And then somebody else posted, so there's four. So it included those. And I'm like, okay, thank you. Thank you for including me. Even though it just makes me feel old, and then everybody can put a timestamp on top of like, your first one was Atari 20s. Or yeah, the Atari is like, yeah, dude, just.
I never played the Atari. Like, I don't recall me playing the Atari at all.
That's what my dad had. It was fun. Simple. I tried, my grandmother still has it, and I hooked it up for my son, and it was a 2600, and yeah, my son was like, what is this? Why would you do this? I'm like, because it's interesting and fun. Don't judge it. Get out of here. I mean, even though the 2600 came out well before I was born or even thought of, it was still like my first console. So.
Yeah. Yay. Nintendo was the second one that I played. PC Engine, TurboGrafx-16 was the one that got me hooked. Like, That system is incredible. They did good stuff there. So a couple of quick hits while I'm thinking about it. But Rest in peace.
You know what? You're talking about the segment, though. You're talking about this segment, so we should answer the question, too. So what does gaming mean to you?
You're posing it to me first?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that it's educational, right? It's a community and so many different aspects. It's critical thinking, right? And a lot of different games really helped out with that. It really taught me how to drive, so I'm thankful for that. A lot of simulators helped out with that. You know, de-stressors at times, depending what's going on, escape. But right now for me, it's more to connect with the global connection that we have, right? Where we can turn on a stream or something like that, and the individuals can come in and watch this game, but it's not really about the game, but the game allows that connection to happen because we can converse over different topics and stuff like that. So today specifically, it's about, you know, connecting for the greater good, right? And creating content around the games that we love. So there's business aspects of it now, but in the beginning, it was for the love of the game. So now it's, that's still the foundation for the love of the game, but, you know, the other aspects of it too. Like the free stuff is cool, right? The games are always fun, right? So I think that now it's more, it's a connector to community for me.
Wow. I feel like your answer is so much better than mine.
I mean, what's your answer? No, you gotta give your answer.
No, my answers have so many layers because as I was like thinking about it, when I saw you put it on the docket, I really started actually kind of thinking about that. And TriOptical, that's really awesome that your daughter had friends over. They're just, I love that. That's a part of me watching kids play video games and then bonding over it. It doesn't necessarily remind me of my childhood, but to build those relationships, like Andrew was saying, it's just to have that connection with people. It is very, very important for especially kids to be able to find a connection with others that are outside of their family as well as within. I think it's important for building that foundation about who they're going to be and who they're going to grow up to be. Which is almost kind of polar opposite for me because depending on what stage in my life, gaming meant so many different things to me at different stages. I know as a kid, it was very much for escapism.
Okay.
And to a point right now, that's still kind of true.
Okay.
Because that was my coping mechanism. I had a very, very, it's not the worst childhood, but I had a very terrible childhood compared to most. And I wasn't given the tools really to learn how to cope about them or given anybody for me to talk to. I just kind of accepted whatever crappy thing was happening in my life. That was normal. And that's what you do. So I used to play video games just to escape it, just to where the only problem that was in front of me was whatever I was playing. And those problems were easier to solve than whatever was going on in my life. Cause at least I know that I can solve this. There is a solution to this. I just need to find it. And when I got it, I felt good about myself. So it was that huge escapism. And I still to this day kind of do that. If I don't know how to deal with something or I'm not ready to deal with something that's in front of me, I will play video games. And then while I'm playing it, I'm also trying to figure out like, how am I going to solve this, whatever external problem that I'm having. But later on, because I didn't know how to make friends, at least friends my age, shout out to Young Jun Ri from fourth grade for being my first real friend. he played Super Nintendo and he's the one who introduced me to F-Zero because he didn't have a terrible thing, but he had very strict parents. So he couldn't really play with kids outside. So we would secretly meet at the park next to his house and we would exchange games. And he'd be like, I really like this one. I think you'll like it too. And I would do the same thing for my personal library and we'll switch. And we'll play and we'll talk about it for like a little bit at school. So that was like the first experience of me being able to connect with somebody over something that I enjoyed, that we both enjoyed, that we actually both used to escape whatever problems we were having at home. And still a lot of these things still kind of do like apply. Like I'll tell people like, you know what, you know, when I'm feeling like a certain way, I played this game, which like helped me with this. And I will give those type of recommendations. But really, if it wasn't for gaming, I really don't know if I have really good communication skills to like bond with people. Like, I really, really don't know.
I disagree. Well, go ahead. Build on that.
For gaming, like, if the person that I'm talking to doesn't like gaming, I have a hard time connecting with them. Like,
yeah.
There's like, I need that instant, like, common ground for me to have, like, I can relate to you.
I think you choose. You're extremely picky to who you open up to.
Well, yeah, to open up to.
Yeah.
But I think everybody should be picky about that.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't think it's difficult for you.
I think to start a conversation, it can be like, I really don't know. I still have this problem with making friends. I still don't know how to make friends as an adult. That's really hard. Like, I don't know. Like there's some people I know that can just go to the coffee shop or go down to the beach and like strike up a conversation with a perfect stranger that they don't know anything about or anything like that. And next thing you know, they're friends and they're having cookouts on the weekends. Like I have a friend like that. And I'm like, what? Like, it was like, oh, how'd you guys meet? Oh, yeah. I found their GoPro on the beach one day. And like, I saw that it was on their video card. I did a search on Facebook for it. I met up with them. I gave it back. And then I'm like, so how did this 2-year friendship, you guys have barbecues at least once a month come across?
Right.
You know, I have friends that are fully capable of doing that and they have nothing in common, but you know, I returned your GoPro and best friends. But for me, it is gaming. If like that is something that I have to have with somebody before I can just fully like feel confident enough to engage with. And it could be like the smallest inkling, like, oh, okay, you played this game. I can make, you know, it's something for me to feel confident about. At least I know I have one topic that I can have a regular conversation with this person about. And it just brings me happiness because I mean, before my Xbox, like at the time where I was playing a lot of Xbox, like the only people that I had on my friends list was people I actually knew in person. And they weren't playing as much as I was. And then I went out to Twitter and I'm like, anybody play Borderlands? And like all of a sudden, all of these people like, just like, yeah, let's just add me up. And, you know, I got to know them. And now I've been friends with these people for, you know, 9-10 years. I've met them. They're like, they know a lot about my life. I know a lot about theirs. So it's just this connection. I guess ultimately what it is that one, I use it for escapism. And the other one is it's just like for me to pull myself out of that hole when I'm trying to escape something, those people that I've met and those connections that I make help pull me out of that to back to reality to know that, okay, there's good people out there in the world and they make my life better. And I hope that I make their lives better.
I'm not there with the gamer tag and just put my gamer tag out there and be like, hey, let's play a game. I'm not there. I may have been there, but I think I'm jaded.
Jaded? Yeah, I can. You can be.
Yeah.
I'm willing. I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
It's like people are hit and miss, but even then, I mean, I think at that time, 9 years ago, 10 years ago, you mean streaming wasn't really a thing. You were genuinely just looking to like have more friends to play games with.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I'll play and I'll answer any question you may have while I'm there, right? On stream, whatever it is. But nah, that gamer tag just, hey guys, let's play today. I don't know. I'm not there. So you got that, Daniela. That's all you. Cause I don't know. Working through some things there.
Gaming will always be a part of my life because I think it's just one of those tools that I've used to help me work through life. It's a crutch to some degree, but it's an enjoyable one, and it's not one that's necessarily unhealthy. So there's worse crutches to have out
there. So I'll ask you this. Where were you at with gaming when I met you? What was gaming doing for you during that time?
How long ago was that?
A couple of years.
Just a couple? That's definitely more than a couple of years. And that had to be around 2012.
You were doing a lot of dancing games at that time, I think.
I was doing Just Dance. No, yeah. Dance Central. Dance Central. I love that game still. Yeah. Oh, man. That is.
All right, never mind. You want to hold off?
I'm trying to think about what was going on in my life at that time. I think I was still trying to balance out this whole single mom thing. And then I was definitely using it. I was using it to escape everything going on in my life because at that time, my dad disowned me. My grandfather passed away. My divorce was finalized. I was ending a 6-year relationship and
yikes.
And I know there was probably something else there, but like, yeah, there was a lot going on during that.
Yikes.
During that period. So really heavy. Like, I just don't want to cope and deal with anything in my life right now.
So you were just dancing it away.
Just tell me what's happening in your life so that I don't have to pay attention to what's in mine. Yeah. Oh, man. There was a lot going on.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So I'm excited. I'm excited for everybody getting their stuff, whether that's PlayStation tomorrow or Xbox this week. But I definitely wanted to spend some time. I know that this episode is going to be shorter than usual, but I definitely wanted to spend some time on the Twitch DMCA stuff. And the reason I want to spend time there is because I think that individuals who are streaming on Twitch believe that the music is theirs because they're able to stream it, whether they bought it or not, on the platform. Now, that's not everybody, but I think that even as we've seen the last 2 weeks, how grave the situation is where Twitch is trying to make sure that they don't get either sued or anything like that with these rights holders, right? For the music versus allowing the content creator to do what they do on the platform without worrying about their stuff being gone. So initial thoughts, and then we'll hit that blog in a second.
I even think with this blog that this post that they put out today, it's a lot. It addresses some, but it really doesn't at the same time. It's very interesting here. So kind of going along with this. So a game from Harmonix just launched yesterday called Fuser. And I spent my entire day almost watching all of these Fuser streams. And coming from Harmonix, it's all music. So you're playing a DJ and you're mixing all these different tracks and these musics, which is actual, you know, artists and doing all these things. So there was one streamer that was just amazing and phenomenal in this game. First time I ever watched a stream, Stuntman Gene, I think it was. I think we originally met him through Lucid Sounds, but he was really good at the game, and he wouldn't talk. He'd just mix songs for like 45 minutes. Like it's like full club going on in his stream, and Harmonix was popping in and out of it. But one of the streams,
I guess somebody asked in chat and Harmonix happens to be there. So what happens about DMCA strikes? Like, why? Like, what's the difference here? And Harmonix told them straight up, their straight answer was, you can stream it, you cannot save it. So once they finish their stream, at least all of Harmonix games, which they're all music games, you have to delete your VOD instantly after.
Wow.
Because I think they were saying that in their terms of service is that you can stream it, but you cannot keep the VOD. So there's some wording in there, and I haven't found that yet. But I actually started going through a lot because there's games that have music in it that right. You can't control.
Yep.
So what are you going to do? Just mute your game because you don't know when it's ever going to pop up? Like that's not fair. There needs to be better clarification on that. I can understand for like games like Beat Saber or Audio Trip or Dance Central, Fuser, all of those games that are out there. Okay. You kind of know that there's going to be music involved. If Harmonix is saying, yeah, there's no problem with streaming it. You cannot save the VODs. But here's another thing that I thought that was very, very interesting that I don't think I haven't seen the wording about it anywhere. So I don't know if it's in like a private email that Fuser sent out to whoever got early access to the game. But in the streamer, Sup Manjean, he was saying that because it is licensed music that they are playing, they cannot ask for paid subscriptions. So, and they cannot, wow. Like if you are on Facebook or on YouTube, you cannot monetize that stream, which I understand that part. I've always understood that. But I always applied it to post video, not live video. So I know like on YouTube, if you get a strike, basically any monetization or anything that you would have gotten from ads or whatnots would go to the publisher, the licensor of that music. That's where it went. Okay, that's a fair trade-off. I understood that. What I did not know is that in live video, you cannot add, you cannot ask for tips. You cannot ask for subscribe to my channel. But what they can do is ask if you have your Twitch Prime or Amazon Prime tied to your Twitch, you can use your free subscription because they're not actually paid for.
Right.
You're not paying them. It is a free subscription for their ads to make whatever kind of money. But you cannot ask for money whatsoever.
Hmm.
So, and I know I've heard that phrasing somewhere before where you cannot ask for, you cannot monetize certain things. I just don't remember where it was. And I've been trying to actually find that today. But it was very interesting. They said that and Harmonix was in there. And you know what? They confirmed. I wish I could go and pull that chat, but that guy had to go and delete his VOD right after. But I didn't think about screenshotting it in that moment either. I thought that was so interesting. And, you know, people were just, it was asking about it. And a lot of people who built their content creation on Twitch around musical games, rhythm games, that's pretty much what they've been doing, is they'll stream it. They'll still do it. They are okay to do it. They either download their VOD real quick or they have it recording at the same time that they're streaming and then they delete it immediately right after.
Mm. You have to protect yourself. You know, you have to protect yourself. And I don't think it's that big of a deal because you're allowed to use such a powerful platform. Like Twitch or YouTube. And the only thing that they're asking is to make sure that you're not playing music that you don't own because they're going to flag it or someone's going to flag it for you to take it down and stuff like that. So, and I think that some streamers will be resistant to that and some will just, you know, do it because it's where they do a lot of their income from. A lot of money that they do come from there. So now when I'm looking at this, there is one section that I appreciated where they apologize for them not having the tools in place for you to quickly do what they're asking to do, because it's not only that they're covering their behind, but they want to cover yours, right? So it's like, all right, we didn't have these tools in place, but we want to let you know we're going to be better in the future. And I think that this is definitely something that you should read. And I think there's one section I want to just highlight here. So it talks about the DMCA, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act is a set of U.S. laws that allows you to create and share content on digital service providers like Twitch. We comply with DMCA and similar laws worldwide. Part of complying means when a copyright holder thinks a streamer has used their content without permission, we have a process in place for them to be able to request the content to be taken down. Now, I don't know how sophisticated that process was. Okay. I don't think it was that sophisticated based on the cries of the Twitch creators that I've heard the last couple of weeks. So at the very least, if you know that the music that you're playing, if 21 Savage didn't say you can stream his stuff, right? You shouldn't be doing it. And I think that that's really, you know, the 101 of that. And I'm not going to read the entire blog, but I definitely wanted to mention it because I think it's important. Like even, okay, so even recently when I was going through my YouTube account, right? Which Optical mentioned earlier, thanks for the love. I appreciate that. I went through all the videos that I have on YouTube to make sure I didn't have any issues with anything copyright related. And if there was an issue, then I would, you know, appeal or be like, you know what? I did play that song. So just let it go. And I think that's really the bottom line. You just have to be mindful of how important is this to you. Because if it's a business, you don't want anything preventing you from getting the money that you should get with this content, just being able to have ads on it, especially on YouTube, but your pride is not allowing you to remove this particular thing, and now you're not getting money on it because you just want to play Mariah Carey because you love her so much. I don't know. But whatever the case might be, it is just don't play those tracks and find royalty-free music. So quick promo here. StreamBeats, right? StreamBeats is royalty, like as royalty-free as you can get, right? Not only can you just stream the stuff for StreamBeats, but you can pull the audio down locally to your machine and use it for your podcast or your YouTube videos or whatever you're doing. I mean, that's as good as it gets, okay? And I mean, he has different albums. Harris Heller has different albums for that. And that is a great resource for individuals who can, you know, use that music. I use it for the show, for the podcast. I use it on some of my YouTube videos. And I'm not worried about a DMCA strike because he built, okay, a music company just for this. You know, for us to have that kind of stuff. So I thought that was cool. Thoughts?
It's not just music. So I'm pretty much redoing everything that I physically know how to do. Updating my alerts, my graphics, my everything. So my old alerts did have a couple, you know.
Some things.
It was just one of my alerts actually had. I think it was like a 10-second clip of Flo Rida. But I was like, okay, I'm going to remove it. I've never had that segment ever like muted because of that 10 seconds. But yeah, it's still wrong. I know it was still wrong. So I'm redoing it and I'm like, okay, well, what I want to use now, I also discovered that there are streamers, especially the role-playing ones, that they're getting DMCA strikes for just sound effects. So there's GTA role players who, you know, some of them, some of their characters or their tunes are what is it? They're cops. They're police officers. So they have the audio effects for, you know, a siren or an ambulance or anything like that. And they are getting strikes against them for just a siren. And I'm like, oh. Okay.
The siren that the game developers made.
No, one that they just have, like they found online. That's just a sound effect. It's a sound effect.
Wow.
So like a lot of their modded audios are just, you know, just to, you know, bring this, you know, their world to life. And they can be little minor small things. So having a more realistic, you know, control over the sirens in their police car or their ambulance as they're patrolling, you know, that is causing strikes against them.
Wow.
So esports horn, can't use that. So it's not just music. Sound effects can have copyrights on them as well too. So be very, very, very careful on top of those. If, you know, sound effects are kind of your thing, make them yourself if you're able to make them yourself. For me, I'm just at this point where I'm not even going to even try. All of my alerts are just going to be silent. They're just going to be visual. Who needs audio on those things?
There's
not there, me, because I don't want to deal with that headache.
I don't remember who did it and at what point. I think it might have been BBC, where they released a whole catalog of sound effects to the public domain. I got to look it up. It may have been BBC. If I get the link, I'll definitely send that to you. But it's like hundreds of different clips categorized and everything. So I'll look for that.
Yeah, and I believe, I think it was Thad. It was either Thad or it was Fledge from Astra who replied back to me. And he's like, yes, sound effects can be copyrighted. I'm like, there's nothing safe.
Yeah.
Never mind. I'm not going to try. That's just the easier way. It's like, okay, either you make it yourself so that you have the full rights to it and it's just yours. Because if somebody's going to say like, nope, that's my audio. I'm like, nope, I made it. Here's the proof.
Yeah. If you make it yourself, that's the best bet.
That yeah, so hopefully you're talented enough to do that. And if you are talented enough to do that, you should market that and sell that service to other people. I'm just saying.
That's true.
I'm just saying. But no, I mean, yeah, I guess if you're going to be playing anything that has to do with anything musically that you know is going to be in the game, just delete your VOD after, quickly download it or record it as you're streaming and... which is possible. If you're one of those people who like to have clean recordings as you're streaming, you can open up a second instance of OBS that is just set up for just like no alerts, none of your cam, just the game. You can open up a second instance and record that as your first instance is streaming out for you. That's I believe you can do that with XSplit as well, too. I haven't tried it, though.
Quick hits.
Yeah, that's just the same thing. Just
quick. Don't. Quick hits. Anything that you want to mention before we wrap? Short show today.
There's a game I want to play that is Sakuna. Oh man, I can't even remember the whole title. All I know is it says rice. Rice and Ruin. That's what it is. Sakuna of Rice and Ruin. I've been wanting to play this game for like a couple of years now. When I heard about it, it has to do with rice. Discover the true power of rice. Come on.
No way.
Yes. It's not super cheap. It's like $40. I'm like really trying hard not to like buy anything because, because we just, you know, paid for all this money for these new next gen. I bought, Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Hopefully I have everything that I possibly need done graphically wise and have it set up so that I can go back to streaming this weekend because I want to play and I want to stream Valhalla so badly. That's my plans. That's the things that I'm looking forward to. Well, Friday I get my console, so I'll be excited. It's a day late from the rest of the world, but you know what? There's some people who aren't getting their consoles from, I guess, Amazon or whatever until after Christmas. So
it could be
worse for me.
That's pretty bad.
I'm going to be grateful.
That's pretty bad. One thing I wanted to mention earlier, rest in peace, Alex Trebek, Jeopardy. I lost part of my childhood. I used to watch that show with my grandmother and my mom. So that hurt. That hurt to see that this week. I don't want to end there, but definitely wanted to mention that, prayers to him and his family. Halo 4 PC this week. So if you're looking forward to some more Halo 4, definitely check that out. I know Sega is selling off their amusement section of their business. I did see that. BioWare announces Mass Effect Legendary Edition. Quick hits on that. And Uncharted movie is done filming. And I think that's it. I think those are some of the things that I really wanted to mention before we started wrapping. Thoughts on anything?
No. I'm pretty good. I'm just excited. You know, we're in that holiday season. Food. All the foods.
Indeed. All the foods. But,
yeah, just I'm excited that next gen is now going to be current gen.
Indeed.
I feel, you know what's funny? I think for the PS4 and the Xbox One, I think up until like maybe mid last year, people were still calling it next gen.
Yeah.
Not mid next year. Since just before the PS5 and Xbox Series X was announced, which I feel like it was the beginning of last year or something like that.
We didn't know what to really call it.
What we still call it. Yeah. But still, PS4 was for like a long time. In these 7 years, it was so called, you know, the next gen. I'm like, no, it's the current gen. I don't know how many years before we get that out of our system for the PS5 and the Xbox Series.
I'm excited. Destiny Beyond Light. Woo, it's really good. Really good. So I'm happy. I did buy it. It wasn't, you know, a review copy or anything like that. Having a lot of fun with it. What's interesting is the RNG in the game gives me what I love. So the first major weapon that I received from the DLC was a pulse rifle. So I love pulse rifles. So I'm excited about that. But it's really good. That's all I'm going to say. It's really good. Still playing through it. I'm having a lot of fun. Did some unboxings this week. I did the A20 unboxing. I did the AO3s unboxing on my channel. You can get to my YouTube pretty quick now. Andrew-alliance.com will take you straight to my YouTube. What else is there? Oh yeah. So, Lipson, if you haven't podcasted yet, but you're starting a podcast, you can definitely check out Lipson. They're a great host. That's what we use here. You can use the promo code TSR for that. Proton VPN, great VPN, the best solution VPN, I believe, on the planet. It's the same company that made Proton Mail. So if you're familiar with the security and everything that they do for that particular software solution, you already know that their VPN is going to be dope. So definitely check that out. We'll have links in the description for that. And also coffee, Grinding Coffee Co. You can get 25% off by using the promo code TSR. And I think that's it for me. Danielle, what do you got?
That's it. I guess we're closing out here. So thank you guys for hanging out with us. Appreciate it for tuning in as well too. And of course, the episode audio will always be available first on our Patreon. So go ahead and check out our Patreon and become a patron. And if you want to support us in any other way, and you know what, there's free ways to support us as well too. You can go and subscribe to us, leave us a review on any of your favorite podcatchers like Google Play, Apple Podcasts. I always get those two mixed up. iHeartRadio, Spotify, we're there. So go ahead and check it out. Tell a friend about our show as well too. And thank you for listening to episode 565. You can find Andrew on his socials at twitter.com and twitch.tv @Uriah, U-R-I-Y-Y-A. And you can follow me as well on all my socials at Miss DJM. And until next time, mask up, stay safe, and have a good one.
All right, that should be off. Let me just check one thing. Stop.